Ted Kennedy called Massachusetts his home, but was also at home in the nation's capital, where he served well over 40 years in the United States Senate. Tomorrow, he returns to Washington one last time. He'll be buried just across the river at Arlington National Cemetery. NPR's Juan Williams is following the story. Juan, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
I want to talk a little bit about Ted Kennedy's influence in Washington, which was seen. He was on television screens. His name was on legislation, but also unseen. There were people on his staff who he grew and nurtured, and he spread them throughout the government. What was happening there?
It's a tremendous story of Ted Kennedy's influence in American politics, but specifically in Washington, D.C., Steve. This is someone who nurtured his staff, and if you look at the people who have come out of Ted Kennedy's office, it's people who are continually the power brokers in Washington, D.C. And here I'm talking about everybody from Stephen Breyer, who sits on the Supreme Court, to someone like a Ken Feinberg, who was in charge of the September 11th Victims Fund, now does compensation work for the Obama administration, Melody Barnes, who now runs the Obama Domestic Policy Council. But it also even extends over to the lobbying side of Washington, D.C., people like Tony Podesta, Nick Allard. Podesta runs the Podesta Group, Allard, Patton Boggs. These are people who were nurtured, introduced, led through political legislation by Ted Kennedy, shown how the ropes worked, and who stayed in touch with him because he was such a personal nurturing force in their lives. And so what it constitutes is Ted Kennedy left a big stamp on Washington, D.C.
Let me understand that a little better, because as you know from living in Washington, Juan, there are a lot of politicians who do this, who spread their influence through the people that they spread through the government. But what was it about Ted Kennedy and the way he worked with people that made him stand out?
Ted Kennedy was obviously an expert in terms of the ways of the U.S. Senate. He had been there, obviously, almost 50 years, Steve, and so he knew the legislative process, the parliamentary aspect of it, but he was also an expert when it came to issues like healthcare, immigration. He had that high level of expertise, and he relied to a large extent on his staff, even on things like Supreme Court nominations in the Judiciary Committee. So it gave these people a high level of expertise, put them in the public spotlight because Ted Kennedy was willing to share it. He had no sense of jealousy of his staff or need for more attention. He was a celebrity already. So he was willing to share, include them in meetings, make introductions, connections for them that really set him apart from other senators.
You know, it's interesting, in the last months of his life, when Kennedy was not healthy enough to participate in the health care debate, his staff was still said to be deeply involved.
Very deeply involved. In fact, Steve, Senator Chris Dodd, who really was representing Ted Kennedy then in much of this discussion, was relying on Ted Kennedy's staff as well as his own, but Ted Kennedy's staff was still a force, even though the senator was not there.
Now, Ted Kennedy, we mentioned, will be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. President Obama will deliver the eulogy, and I suppose we could say he has a tough act to follow because of the great eulogies that have been delivered over the years by Senator Kennedy himself.
It really is an incredible list. In my mind, you know, I start right away with what happened with John F. Kennedy Jr., where Ted Kennedy ended by saying that, you know, we dare to think about, you know, this John Kennedy. He called him this John Kennedy, combing gray hair with his beloved Carolyn by his side. And he talked about how, you know, he was lost that night, but we are awake for him even now. Just beautiful language. Or you think back to how he spoke about his own mother, Rose Kennedy, and said, you know, she had gone to God, she is home. And here I'm quoting, he says, at this very moment, she's happily presiding at a heavenly table with both her Joes, Jack, Kathleen, Bobby, and David. He just had this wonderful, obviously powerful voice, but it was his presence and his sense of deep grief from all the tragedies that he had suffered that made him one of the great eulogists of his time.
And now others will try to find words for him. Juan, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Steve.
NPR News analyst Juan Williams.